This morning, I'm asking every one of you, most of you have known me for years, it's your pastor, and some of the things that we're going to talk about today, they're not easy for me to talk about. Most of you are aware of what's the events in our country and all that's been going on, and it would be so easy for you to hear me use or a term or a phrase or a word and become offended because the language has been somewhat hijacked. But please, please, will you listen to everything until the end? And then if you want to be mad at me, okay, as I've told you before, as long as I feel that I have delivered what God has put on my heart, I can live with that. I hope you'll still love me, even though you may be mad at me. But and I don't want to make this sound like, look, as again, referring to myself, as a believer, as a Christian, a Native American, and a little more white than Native, I serve this church as pastor, and I welcome family of faith, church, looking like heaven, red, yellow, black, brown, white. My heart is and always has been to pastor any and all that God sent to this place. Everybody that I know has been emotionally impacted by the killing of Mr. Floyd. And yes, I don't care what was going on with Mr. Floyd or in him. He was killed and he shouldn't have been. Let me just jump way ahead of myself. Folks, do you understand? I know. We can just say, well, it's just a few bad rogue cops. Yes, it is. I have a brother-in-law who is captain, Tulsa Police Force. He's black. But do you not understand? If they can do this to him, they could do it to you. I'm sure the media has been filled with all kinds of verbiage, and even though I haven't watched any TV news shows, I am aware that there have been protests, there have been riots. Unfortunately, there have been more killings and the destruction and looting of property. But hear me, this is not about politics this morning. What I want to do is bring us back to Scripture. Because as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ, this ought to be preeminent in our lives. Amen? Amen? It's what the Word of God says, not what a political party or an ideology might have to say about this. But I want us to bring us to Scripture. And again, it's not to score political agenda points, but rather to focus on God's heart and His love for the world, for all people, and what we can do in these times. I want to start off reading a few verses of Scripture. The first one, actually, these first three, I want us to read aloud and together. So, Mike, if you'll put Leviticus 19:15 on the screen. You ready? Let's read together. Do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly. You say, well, that's Old Testament. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So let's go to James chapter 2, verse 1. Let's read this one aloud and together. Are you ready? My brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism. In other words, your personal preference. You can't hold your faith and reserve personal preferences whenever it comes to other people. Now, he talks about what's going on and the example he gives. And while it's good, I want us to drop down to verse 8 and 9. Let's read those together. Let's read these out. You ready? Here we go. If, however, you are fulfilling the royal law according to the Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. the time Jesus Christ lived, died, crucified, rose from the dead, the first century was filled with racism and oppression. And by the way, I've covered this before. You know, the word racism and racist is just, has become the word. And I'm not going to take time now, but we've taken time to define this. You understand there's a difference between prejudiced and racist. And those words have meaning. And so everybody who expresses an opinion, they may be prejudiced one way or the other. I'll tell you what, every one of us have prejudices. I'm prejudiced against Diet Pop. I don't care what they tell me. Oh, you got to try this one, Pastor. It tastes like the real thing. Take a drink of that. No, it doesn't. Okay, now that's just a little thing. Now, you're also prejudiced when it comes to people. Now hear me. Not everybody is your friend. Not everybody you work with or that you know or you go to school with is your friend. Why? Well, I kind of like these people better. We kind of click. That's okay, unless you are prejudging, you are judging them falsely, wrongly. Sometimes we don't give other people a chance because we've already prejudged, prejudiced. Racist, I said I wasn't going to define these things, but that just means that you believe that your race is better than everybody else and you are actively out to undermine, damage other people groups, okay? Anyway, the first century was filled with this kind of oppression, and it was a two-way street because to first century Jews, Gentiles, that is Africans, Romans, Asians, other Middle Easterners, wherever they were at, other people, if they were not Jews, all the Gentiles, as far as the Jewish mind was concerned, they were created to fuel the fires of hell. That's what other people were for. And the Gentiles, in their regard to Jews, they regarded them as subhuman. There was a point in time when so many Jewish people back in that day were taken into slavery. You couldn't sell them one at a time. It had to be buy one, get two free. There has been much hatred and violence between Jew and Gentiles. But also in the first century, there emerged a group of people who saw themselves as members of the same family. A group made up of Jews, Gentiles, slave, rich, free, poor, male, female. These were the first Christians, the first followers of Jesus Christ. The world saw people who hated each other now begin to love one another and do life together in the name of Jesus. The Church of Jesus Christ was a classless, not without taste, just without class. Because the Roman world was, you remember the commander in Jerusalem? They're about to beat Paul after this riot took place. And Paul says to one of the guards, "Are you doing this to me, a Roman citizen, without a trial?" And the guy backed off and he went to his commander. And his commander came and said, "Tell me, are you a Roman citizen?" "Yes." He says, "I paid a lot of money to get my Roman citizenship." This is this commander talking. Paul says, "But I was born free. I was born a citizen." So in other words, there were born citizens, you could buy citizenship, and then there were other classes of people that existed. Slaves, servants, day workers, the whole gamut. And you dealt with your class of people and nobody else, you wouldn't have anything to do with anybody outside your class. It was a rare, rare thing. But when the church came into existence, it was something else. And this is what Colossians 3 verse 11 tells us. Here, that is the church, there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. You see, you lose class distinctions when you realize that Jesus lives in me and he lives in you and he lives in you and he lives in you. And that triumphs, it transcends everything else. Did you know that for the first 200 years, Christians only addressed each other by first names? That's because last names were also a signia of your status, your class, your personal social position in society. These believers saw themselves as part of the same family. Now hear me, not as from this earth, but we were here for the earth. The same as Jesus. Remember, Jesus said, I mean, Jesus came, he was born by nationality, race, he was a Jewish person, but he said, I am not from here. My Father sent me. And then he says, I'm sending, in the same way that my Father sent me, I'm sending you into the world. We are not of this world. We've been born again. New life. But we are here for this world. In his death and resurrection, Jesus took all forms of human separation and discrimination and brought forth a new people out of Jew and Gentile, destroying the wall of separation and hostility that divided and separated them. This is what we find in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning of verse 14. It says, for he himself, speaking of Jesus, is our peace. In other words, we're not antagonistic toward, with God or anybody else for that matter, who has made the two, Jew and Gentile, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. And in this one body, to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. We can't honestly and legitimately say that we are people of faith in Jesus, followers of Jesus Christ, born again, and hold attitudes against others that our Father, that Jesus does not hold. With his resurrection, instead of just Jew and Gentile, instead of just two main groups, now there's three. Jew, Gentile, and the church. And that's what he says, and Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32, do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God. You see, within this new community, the church, the dividing lines of gender, race, class, and social status are wiped away. Again, Paul said in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave, free, male, female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. You see, do we make distinctions between one another? Yes, and whenever I say distinctions, it's not kind of an either or, it's a both and. Yes, we do make distinctions now. Scripture is very clear we do that. That's what 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14 are all about. Because when we're born again, we are endowed, given by our Heavenly Father, spiritual gifts. And every one of us have a role, a function within the body, within the local body as well as the body of Christ at large. And so we see each other, and this is where you see it named in Scripture. Paul, he identifies himself as an apostle. He talks about Agabus the prophet. They're known by, he talked about deacons, deacons and deaconesses, men and women serving in these roles. He talked about them according to their spiritual giftings, their callings. That's how we recognize one another. Oh, this is where you fit. This is what God has made you to serve well in and do well and be a blessing and be blessed in. Then, yes, we honor that. We recognize that. We champion that. You understand? I'm no more anointed to do what I do than you are anointed to do what you do. We see people according to spiritual placement and gifting. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, Paul says the body of local believers is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. We have differing gifts, different functions, different roles, same body. You know, God is looking for his people, the church, made up of black, white, Hispanic, Asian, Jews, Gentiles, to live out their true identities as members of his new creation. A person and a people group will know one another, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, where Jesus becomes our identity. It's because I see Jesus. Yeah, Jesus, again, Jesus has now got, you know, multiple parts, the same as your body does, and they do different things. I'm so glad I don't have to walk on my hands all day. It's because that's not what they were made for. I admire the people who can do it a little while, walking around on their hands, but I don't know if they want to do it all day. Sidewalk gets hot. The point being is that we all do different things. We have a different design, and we function accordingly. A people who will provoke the world to look and say, look how they love one another. I'm going to read you some excerpts of a couple of black men, one of which you'll know, the other one some of you will know, and if I could have done a third, I would have done some video, but doing a one-hour service, we just didn't have the time. Most of you are familiar with Martin Luther King Jr. and his I Have a Dream speech. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but there's a couple of things that I want to focus on this out of this speech, because they still speak today, and they're vital for today. He gave this speech different times, but he delivered this one in August of 1963 at the Lincoln Memorial. One of the things that he said in here, he says, the whirlwinds of revolt will continue to shake the foundations of our nation until the bright day of justice emerges. But there is something that I must say to my people who stand on the warm threshold which leads into the palace of justice. In the process of gaining our rightful place, we must not be guilty of wrongful deeds. Let us seek to satisfy our thirst for freedom by drinking from the cup. Let us not seek to satisfy our thirst for freedom by drinking from the cup of bitterness and hatred. We must forever conduct our struggle on the high plane of dignity and discipline. We must not allow we must not allow our creative protest to degenerate into physical violence. Again and again, we must rise to the majestic heights of meeting physical force with soul, inner being force. What he's saying here is that there are some things that need to be protested. But there's a right way to protest. And there's a wrong way. And there's a difference between protest and riots. And the two should not be confused. He goes on to say, there are those who are asking the devotees of civil rights, when will you be satisfied? We can never be satisfied as long as the Negro is the victim of the unspeakable horrors of police brutality. And I say amen. I don't care who you are, what color you are, nobody, look, the majority of police officers in this country are good people trying to do a very difficult job. I mean, think about it. Over the last decade, the number of police officers has just been sitting in their cars and somebody comes up to them and shoots them, kills them. You don't think you're not going to be nervous every time somebody starts approaching your car? I mean, put yourself in somebody else's shoes. Now, let's also put ourselves in somebody else's shoes whenever there are rogue cops. And I promise you, there are people, bad people, who go into law enforcement thinking, I'm going this route because I can take advantage and I can use the badge as a shield and the brotherhood will protect me. And there are bad people. And they need to be dealt with. Look, if Scripture says that as a teacher, I am held, James chapter 3 says, I am held to a stricter accountability. You didn't know that? When an elder sins, commits wrongs, you know, according to the scripture, there are times when they are to be, it's to be made known so that others learn, you don't do this. You're high profile, there's accountability. And so it comes whenever it comes to district attorneys, police officers, and judges. And I would go on to say further, even legislators. You're held to a higher standard, whether you like it or not. If you don't like it, then get out. Don't do it. But you're going to treat people unfairly, unrighteously, and I'll get to that in just a moment. You need to have the book, and you know, yeah. I don't care what Mr. Floyd, I mean, I do. If he broke the law, if he was high on something, whatever, doesn't matter. You don't put your knee on the back of somebody's neck when they're already down handcuffed for 8 minutes. You do not do that. I want to cry and scream at the same time. And I'm telling you, if we, as all the citizens of the United States, do not rise up and say, no more, guess who's next? People, don't you understand? As people of faith, you have a target on your back. Now, that shouldn't scare you from the time you received Jesus. The Lord told you you had a target on your back. Your biggest enemy shooting for you is Satan, his kingdom. And so he's got people working for him, and this is his growing anti-Christian sentiment. I'm telling you, we cannot sit by and just say, well, it's not happening to me right now. I don't go home that way. No. It will come back. History has taught us this time and time again. And as has well been said, a government big enough to give you everything is a government big enough to take everything you've got. And I don't mean that as a political statement. I just mean that as the facts. That's the reality. Show me where in the world that has not been the reality. The United States of America is the closest you've come to that. That's why our Constitution, the Bill of Rights, tells not what the government can do to us, but what the government can't do to us. It's a charter of liberties, freedom. He goes on to say, after saying, we're not going to be satisfied as long as we are victims of police brutality, he says, no, we are not satisfied, and we will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. Now, this phrase was the most frequent phrase. You read all of Martin Luther King's speeches. He used this phrase over and over again. It's not his most famous phrase, but it's his most frequent phrase. And did you know it's actually a Bible verse? Look at it with me. Amos chapter 5, verse 24. Let's read it aloud and together. You ready? But let justice run down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. Justice is not a bad word. I know that there are people, again, who have hijacked the language to try to make it mean something that it doesn't. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what Scripture says. Are we okay with Scripture here? Okay. Justice and righteousness. Let me just sum these up quickly. Justice is there to, it reacts to what we've encountered. But you understand, justice doesn't cure anything. Justice is the answer to the past. What's happened? Something happened to me, I want justice. Righteousness is the answer to the future. It makes for what is to come. It makes good things, right things possible, and keeps them sustained for the future. Because without righteousness, the problem keeps reoccurring. I don't want to keep seeing these same problems, these same injustices happen in our country. I don't want to have it continually happening again and again and again. We need swift justice for today, and we need righteousness for today and tomorrow. When people don't do things righteously, when they don't do things right, people will be victimized, and justice needs to be applied without prejudice. Most of the guys here, you'll know who Tony Dungy is. Okay? He's a football coach. He was. He's now a commentator. Is he on NBC? I don't know. He's moved from the field. He coached Indianapolis, Peyton Manning. Okay? The Baltimore Colts. Right? No, are they? No, they moved. Indianapolis. That's right. They moved. Okay. I'm way back from when they were in Baltimore. Okay? Indianapolis Colts to a Super Bowl win. Tony is a very committed Christian. He's adopted many children, and he's just a good guy. But he came out with a statement that I want you to read along with me, if you will. I'm going to put up on the screen. It's not that long, but it's important to hear what this black man, this black brother, believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, one of us, has to say in a time like this. He says, America is in a very sad place today. We have seen a man die senselessly at the hands of the very people who are supposed to be protecting our citizens. We have seen people protest this death by destroying the property and dreams of people in their own community, the very people they're protesting for. We have many people pointing fingers of blame, painting the opposite side with a broad brush. We have anger and bitterness winning out over logic and reason. We have distrust and prejudice winning out over love and respect. What happened to George Floyd was inexcusable, and it should never happen. Justice needs to be served. But in seeking justice, we can't fall into the trap of prejudging every police officer we see. What started out as peaceful protest have devolved into arson and looting, and that should never happen either. Yes, there should be protest, but we do not have license to perform criminal acts because we're angry. Today, we are a divided country. We are divided racially, politically, socioeconomically, and Satan is laughing at us because that is exactly what he wants. Dysfunction, mistrust, hatred help his kingdom flourish. Well, what is the answer then? I believe it has to start with those of us who claim to be Christians. We have to come to the forefront and demonstrate the qualities of the one we claim to follow, Jesus Christ. We can't be silent. As Dr. King said many years ago, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. But we can't go forward with judgmental, bitter spirits. We need to be proactive, but do it in the spirit of trying to help make things better. And it can't just be just the African-American churches. It has to be all churches taking a stand and saying, we are going to be on the forefront of meaningful dialogue and meaningful change. We have to be willing to speak the truth in love, but we have to recognize that we are not fighting against other people. We are fighting against Satan and his kingdom of spiritual darkness. And he concludes with this. In the words of the Apostle Paul, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. Romans 12:21. So as we wrap up our time here, look, I know that there's multiplicity of issues. And this is where people do, because you say, okay, let's tackle this issue. And it's too hard to get people just to focus in on the one issue because there's so many other issues. And you say, well, what about this? Or what about that? Or this, that? No. How do you eat an elephant? It's too big. I can't eat that much. Yes, you can. One bite at a time. It's the way you tackle anything. You got to start somewhere. And I think this issue of abuse of power by the police. And by the courts. People, it is wrong. It is sin. That you can have a white person and a person of color with basically, let's just say, no criminal background. But in other words, the same circumstances, and they'll stand before the judge, and one is going to get sentenced more harshly than the other. Now, that is something, first of all, I don't know the answer to this. I'm not that smart. I'm not called to legislate. I'm called to pastor and to teach God's word. But it does seem to me that there may be a little bit too much flexibility that judges have in issuing out sentences. But I think the legislature needs to legislate and say that if this has happened to you, you can bring it back into court and get your sentence reduced. That, I mean, you commit a crime, you're going to do the time, okay? I don't have a problem with that. Most people don't. Most people of color living in different conditions than most of us do. They don't want these crooks in their neighborhood peddling dope to their kids, destroying and stealing their stuff. They want them out of there. Because they have the same dreams, hopes, aspirations. But listen, let's just move on. What should we take action for and action against? Well, first of all, the very basic is we need to take action for all of our brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. Again, red, yellow, black, brown, white. They are brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. And as again, 1 Corinthians 12 says, you cannot say, because you're not what I do and where I'm at, I have no need of you. I think it's interesting that in that passage of Scripture, it says the head cannot say to the feet, I have no need of you. Who's the head of the body? Jesus. Jesus himself cannot say, I have no need of you. Even the lowliest member, your feet. You know, feet really aren't attractive. You see, it's not just shoes for support. I don't see your old bunions hanging out there. Okay. Now, ladies, you paint your toes very nice. So do I. No. I think my daughter did one time when I was a little girl, but hey, that's what little girls do. All of our brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus who suffer any wrong, we as believers in Christ Jesus, when we see anybody suffering and being victimized by something that is unrighteous, we need to be willing to step up. You know, my first thought when seeing this, why didn't somebody go over there and stop that cop? Well, there are other cops around. You may not have been able to get close. But even if you ran and dove and knocked the police officer off of him, yes, you're probably going to be arrested for obstructing a police officer in his duty. But you might be able to make a case. I waited 3-4 minutes. And this guy was dying. I'll take my chances. And if I have to do some time for that, because you know, something like this has to happen before then, it makes it okay to intervene. Because everybody can point to that. But we have to take action, sometimes even drastically like that. What do we stand against? Well, again, we need to stand against whenever it comes to our legal system. Do you even know here in Douglas County who the district attorney is? I'm not saying anything against him one way or another. I'm just saying that if he's a good guy, wonderful. But somebody else is going to run against him. And you need to know, you need to find out. Because it goes with him. Because the district attorney has a lot of latitude on what they charge and what they're seeking in cases. And sometimes it's justified. Sometimes they're human, okay? And they have to deal with their flesh. And so you just need to get good people, judges. You know, there are judges who are appointed. There are judges who are elected. And what I find most disturbing I have for years is that when you go into the ballot booth and you see all the names of these judges, I don't even know who these people are. You never hear about them in the news. And to find out anything about them takes some work to find out how they've done. I mean, there was a lady judge in Lawrence here that gave a convicted child rapist just a pittance of a sentence. And there was outrage. I don't remember who it was, whatever. She may have done good in other things. But listen, you cannot do that. Because I promise you, the perpetrator would have been a person who's a minority. It's probably not going to happen. And it's wrong. It's wrong. Because if we don't take an active stand on this now, as I said, we'll soon see these patterns of injustice work against us as Christians. So where do you start? Here's what I want you to do. Whenever you see events unfold in our country that are horrific, that magnify the pain of sin and evil, I'm going to ask you the first thing that ought to come out of your mouth. Will you pray Amos 5:24? But let justice run down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. I've done this for a year. Our last men's meeting, again, I prayed it as things going on in our country. The thing that I prayed for more than 15 years, and I don't have time this morning. I got 60 seconds to wrap this up, is that I pray. And there's more times of the year that I pray this even more. Lord, let righteousness prevail in our land. The city, the state, the national, let righteousness prevail. Let evildoers be exposed. Let evil be found out. I first started praying this way back around Halloween time many years ago when there were news reports of Satanists and other wicked people doing horrible things to women and children. Lord, let their plots, their plans, give law enforcement insight. Give them a tip. Help them to go and raid that. Shut it down. Set those captives free. And I've been praying for righteousness to prevail in our nation. So that's the first thing that I'd like you to do. And then vote. Vote. Find out about these people. Find out about them. And then vote them out. Let's all stand. We need leaders, state, local, national, who will deliver justice and who will promote righteousness. Would you agree with me in this prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you that today is the day that you have called us to rise up as the people of God. The church, especially here in the United States, but around the world, has historically been people who have not let justice flounder and be weakened, that they promoted righteousness. Lord, we don't want to be the generation, this day and age of this church, who doesn't pursue justice and righteousness according to Scripture, according to your word. And Lord, we can speak the truth in love. We can be the helping hand.